Blog Talk Radio.
And Diamond Donna.
Diamond Donna in Arizona. Good morning and welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning. It's going to be fantastic.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome on the call. It's great to hear everybody calling in from all over the country. And I know we always talk about it, Sylvie. We always want to acknowledge those people that call in on the calls in the morning, and they cannot say hello. We know many of you because you send us emails, you give us voicemails during the day. When we speak with you, you say, don't forget, I'm always on the call, and always a big shout-out to those people that listen to the call later at night or later during the day because they're not able to listen live during the call. So we welcome every single one of you on the call. And Sylvie and I were talking about this because we had a great weekend this weekend. We were with Doug McGuinn and Patty McGuinn. We were with Kenny Hargrove. We were with all of the fantastic team down there in Austin, Texas. We were with a fantastic team here in Dallas, Texas, and we were having so much fun, and we did a call last night with Doug McGuinn and Patty McGuinn and Kenny Hargrove and their team, and we were focused in. We were talking about opportunity, and it's so interesting when you listen and think about opportunity because, as Sylvia and I said, Sylvia said one of the things she said was, you know what, opportunity is a word that we talk about all the time, but do we truly understand what it is? Do we understand when we say what it is to take full advantage of the opportunity that has been presented to us? Do we truly understand this? Because the reality is, for most of us, we grow up in a household, we grow up in an environment. The people who have the greatest influence upon us as we're being raised, for example, our teachers, for example, the clergy or the pastors that are part of our lives, for example, our parents, for example, the neighborhood parents, for example, the people that we hang out with. Is opportunity something that we talk about? Is opportunity something that we truly understand? We're not really trained on it. So let's just have a look at that and understand what it means. You know, it's so interesting when you look around, opportunity seems to strike at the door of those men and women who are prepared themselves for greater things. Are we one of those people who understand that we're looking to prepare ourselves? Are we looking to get better? When we understand personal development, when we understand personal growth, when we understand what Jim Rohn says, that we're looking to be ready for when opportunity shows up so we can take that opportunity, take that ball, and run with it. Why? Because we are prepared. But opportunity is a tricky one because it's no just one thing that helps you prepare for it. There are so many different facets to it. You know, and we try to teach our children as they grow up a little bit of an understanding around opportunity. First of all, we try to teach them how to see it. How do we do that? You know, as we grow up, we want to give our children opportunities to generate pocket money. I remember growing up in a household with my parents and very understood, now that I look back on it, now that I've talked with my parents about it, one of the things that they used to do was give us opportunities to make money. But here's what something that I learned from it. Our parents would give us the opportunity to make money. For example, if I said, came to my mom and dad and said, I need to make some money, they'd say, well, why don't you go out there and cut the grass? Or why don't you go out there and clean the windows? Or why don't you go out there and sweep the yard? Or why don't you do some vacuuming for me? Or why don't you wash up, you know, clean up them after, or make dinner and clean up afterwards? In other words, they would give me an opportunity to make money, and they would give it to me. But here's what's interesting. If I didn't get to it immediately, I remember many times that they would give me the opportunity, and I didn't do it immediately. I wanted to do it my own time. And I came back, you know, maybe later that day, or I came back maybe later the next day to actually get it done, and I would find out that the grass had already been cut, that the room had already been cleaned, that whatever it is, the opportunity that they had given to me was gone. And my parents would say, oh, I didn't think you wanted it because you didn't do it immediately, so I gave it to your brother, or your dad did it. So in other words, the opportunity went away, and so did the money. And very quickly over time, I learned when I was given opportunity to take full advantage of it immediately. That was the environment in which I grew up. But then my parents evolved that teaching because they truly did have a plan. They truly did have an understanding. The next time, as we grew a little older, and we would give, you would come to my parents and say, want to make money, they'd say, great. They would ask us, so what can you do? And the reason they would ask the question, what can you do, is instead of having been given opportunity, they would see if I could actually make an opportunity or see it for myself. So in other words, my job would be to go around and see what it is that I could do. Maybe I'd come back and say, you know, the grass is looking a little bit long, can I cut the grass? Maybe I'll come around and say, this room looks a little bit untidy, can I tidy it up and clean this out? Maybe I'd say the garage looks a little untidy, perhaps I'll tidy up the garage. In other words, the idea was to go make that opportunity so that I could go in there and do it. It's very interesting. And then also, I learned a lesson. Because sometimes I would make the opportunity and not get to it. And I remember one time particularly, something came up that I wanted to do, and I didn't get to it for more than 4 or 5 days. And she gave that opportunity to my brother. I remember being annoyed and said, hey, that was my opportunity. I was the one that came up with the idea. She said, it doesn't matter. You gave us a good idea. I gave it to somebody else. I gave it to Fergal. So what I want you to understand is that opportunity comes when opportunity is ready. We all understand this very clearly. How many of us have got upset with our children when we've asked them to do something? We've given them an opportunity to serve. We've given them opportunity to generate income. We've given them opportunity to come up with ideas to help us. But yet they've come up with the idea. They spotted what should be done. We gave them the opportunity, and we came back. We found them on the couch. We're fighting with them to stop watching TV. We're fighting with them to get off their computer. We're fighting with them to go and get it done, to get off the phone and stop talking to their friends or whatever that it is that it is. But understand, is that the same relationship that we have with opportunity today? Because for many of us, opportunity comes when opportunity is ready. The first thing that we need to learn how to do is to see it. And then when we see it, what do we need to do? Is to get to it immediately. In other words, to organize our lives around us. Or have we become, if we stand back from that opportunity like our children, and we realize whatever it is that we say that we're busy doing, because in other words, it just is an excuse and we're not actually getting to it, and we're becoming like, or we realize, wow, if I was the person that had given this opportunity, I would understand why it's going by me. Opportunity is missed by most people because it's dressed in overalls and looks like work. So many of us, when we look at opportunity today, we can honestly say to ourselves, I'm busy. I'll get to that later. I am tired. I'm whatever it is that I am. But remember, opportunity comes when opportunity is ready. You know, a wise man will make more opportunity than he finds. How many of us are out there, we see a little bit of opportunity, but we don't work on seeing more? You can put yourself around people who see more opportunity and learn how to see more opportunity. How do you do that? Get around entrepreneurs. Get around people that are being successful in this economy. Get around people who are making happen what it is that you want to make happen in this economy. Get around them and see what they're seeing. Hear what they're hearing. Feel what they're feeling. How do you do it? You get around them. By being around them, by being around lots of them, it truly does make a difference. You know, one of the things that we talk about is believe in fate. I truly do believe in fate. I truly do believe in God, but I also understand that we want to lean forward to where fate is. We want to lean forward to where God is. We want to lean forward to where the message is. We want to lean forward to where the opportunity is. The golden opportunity that we're all seeking, the golden opportunity that you are seeking, is in yourself. It's inside of you. It's not in your environment. It's not in your luck. It's not in chance. It's not in the help you receive by others. It's right inside of you. Why is that important for us to understand? Because opportunity comes when opportunity is ready. Part of personal development is having the opportunity for us to believe in ourselves. The more you believe in yourself, the more you've confidence you have, the greater your sense of certainty, the more opportunity you see, the more you believe in your ability to organize your life around it right now so you can take full advantage of it. You can ride the wave. You can harness the energy. You can make more opportunity, and you can move yourself and your family forward. You can make it happen. I love what Albert Einstein says. Albert Einstein, one of the people that we would agree is that one of the most intelligent people the world has ever produced, one of the people that has shaped the world that we live in today, he says, in the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. In the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. Is that the way you view it? The greater the problem, the greater the check on the other side of it. Because we are paid for solving problems. The bigger the problem, the bigger the check. The greater the challenge, the greater the check. Is that how you view it? Because when you understand what's on the other side of the wall, guess what you're willing to do? It's to climb that wall and get over the wall because you know it's worth it. You know what's on the other side of it. In the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. Understand that the road to success is never a road that's already paved. It requires that we pave it. In the middle of difficulty lies opportunity. Every one of us have got challenges out there in front of us. We can truly understand that with those difficulties, we can make a difference. In fact, in the middle of this recession lies opportunity. In fact, in the middle of this recession lies the greatest opportunity. But so many of us are just sitting around waiting till we wait, preparing till we prepare. You know, we understand all good things that come to those who wait, but only what's left over by those who hustle. You know, if you don't pick up the ball and run with this, I want you to truly understand somebody else will. So often we get very lackadaisical around opportunity. Remember I said it's a tricky one. The trick means that if you develop yourself, you will see more opportunity. But in seeing more opportunity, you understand that opportunity comes when opportunity is ready, and it is upon us to become prepared, to be ready. But when we see it, to act upon it immediately. Because we understand if we don't, somebody else will. Because they have also prepared. They have also opened up their eyes. They've also opened up their heart. They are seeing this opportunity, and they're moving the ball down the road. Winners don't count on breaks. They don't count on looks. They make breaks and look for themselves. We can all do it for ourselves. You know, look is when preparation meets opportunity. We've all heard it before. Are we preparing? We are on this call, so I know that we are. I know that every one of us are preparing. In fact, I believe that everyone that's listening on this call is already prepared. But Napoleon Bonaparte put it so beautifully. He said, ability is nothing without opportunity. We're prepared. Now the opportunity is ready right now. I believe we're living right in the middle of the perfect storm. Because entrepreneurs, how do you make money as an entrepreneur? We make money as entrepreneurs by solving people's problems. That's how all entrepreneurs make money. They see a challenge in people's lives. Perhaps how do they see it? Because it first was a challenge in their life. They saw a solution for the challenge in their life, and they realized that more people would love this problem or challenge solved in their life. So they go out there and they do it for more and more people. They make more and more money. So they understand that's how they do it. Ability is nothing without opportunity. Opportunity is here. We're middle of the perfect storm because there are more people with more challenges, with more problems than have ever been before. Understand that is this recession. How do you see it? Are you getting up early? Are you getting out of bed on purpose with a plan? Do you feel passionate? Are you excited because you see the opportunity? You're taking advantage of it today. You know what? An optimist sees an opportunity in every catastrophe. But a pessimist sees a catastrophe in every opportunity. Which one are you? Are you seeing an opportunity? The final thing that I want to finish with is very simply this. Understand that opportunity is moving by us. These are going to be the best times that people have ever said within the network marketing industry. I believe in the next 2 years we have the opportunity to help more people than have ever been helped before. There are more people looking with a greater sense of urgency. There's a greater talent pool of people looking with a greater sense of urgency. We need to go out and talk to them. Four things that never come back. This is something that was from the past that was never truer then, that is never truer now. Some things are just true all the time. Four things never come back: the spoken word, the sped arrow, the past life, and the neglect of opportunity. Today is full of opportunity. Take it. Why? Because we know that we deserve it. We know the vision for our family is ours. Go out there and make it happen for ourselves and for our family. God bless every single one of you. We love you all, and we look forward to you having a fantastic opportunity today. We look forward to you having the life of your dreams. Why? Because you deserve it. You can see it. And more importantly, you are prepared to work for it. God bless you all, and we look forward to speak with all of you on the call tomorrow. Cheers, everybody. Have a great day.
You know, that was great. As Garrett was talking, it reminded me of something that happened last year with Dalton. You know, we built on this big addition under the house, and Dalton said, "Dad, I want to do the electrical side of it." So we just went out and bought a book, and he went out and put the complete electrical in this just because he said, "Hey, I know it's going to be hard work, but this is what I'm going to do." And when the inspectors came out and looked at it, they said, "You know, not only did you hit the codes, but you're like way over code on what you needed to be." And it just, when Garrett was talking, it reminded me, if we will give our kids a chance to go out and perform, to do stuff, just like our teams, they will perform above the expectation as long as we've set that expectation high. And I've got a long-lost friend of mine on the call, Mr. Matt Jamison. How you doing this morning, buddy?
I'm doing well, Troy. Just enjoying the summertime. Sorry I wasn't dialed in last week too much, but I was out in the boat in the middle of the ocean, and I think two of my friends lost their cell phones, so I wasn't taking that chance. So I can't get my contacts.
Oh, that is wonderful. But, hey, you know what? That's what life's about. That's the lifestyle that we live. And it's like, you know, that's what it's all about, Matt. When you look at what we're about, when you look at the industry that we live in, when you listen to what Matt was just saying about going out and doing it, not waiting for it to come to you, all of a sudden, you know, you turn around and you realize my business is growing, my relationships have grown, my bank account's growing, things just start moving in the right direction.
Speaking of relationships, how is Mr. Cook doing? Is he okay?
We don't know yet. He's had pneumonia for about 2 weeks, and now it seems like there's more than just pneumonia that's the problem. So we are truly putting him up in our prayers today. We want to make sure that he's going to be all right. I'll be talking to Marcy again here in a few minutes to make sure everything's great. And then we lost a beautiful lady early this morning. John Maxwell's mother passed away, and she's definitely in a better place, without a shadow of a doubt. But I know it's hard on John and Larry, his brother, and the family. But, you know, it's just been a crazy morning, but we're just lifting up prayers for everybody, and we're just moving forward.
Absolutely. I can just imagine she must have been an amazing lady to have John Maxwell as a son, that's for sure.
Oh, my gosh. I got to meet her at Catalyst one year, and you talk about a spitfire. I surely know where John gets it, because that gal was a character and a half, I tell you. Jim, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How are you?
I am doing good.
Morning, Matthew.
You know, we were just talking about just the beauty of what Garrett was saying. I was sharing a story about my son, and when you set the expectations, Jim, whether it's your kids, whether it's your team, whether it's the people that you work with, and you give enough for them to raise up to those expectations, they'll not only raise up to them the majority of the time, but they'll surpass what you expected and go on to do even greater things than you.
Well, you know, I get to see that on a daily basis with my students. Because it's one of the things that we talk about all the time in training in general is, you know, one of the ironic parts about this is over the years, we've all, how shall I say this, we've changed the way that we train, and we've become a little more laid back, a little mellower and everything in the approach to training. And the people that produce the best results are the ones that maintain a constant expectation of excellence. Mm-hmm. And note I use the word excellence, not perfection, because perfection is unattainable. But if we're always striving for excellence, and we're expecting that excellence from our people, they have a way of measuring up to it and not letting us down. I was listening to what you were saying about Dalton before. I was having some problems with my cell phone, but I was able to hear what was going on. And it's simply a matter of expect the best and keep the how out of the way. There was Les Brown. I was watching a video on YouTube the other day about Les Brown and talking about why people fail. And most people fail in the presentation that Les Brown did, not because they set their expectations too high and miss, but because they set their expectations too low and hit.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah, that's real good.
You know, when you think about that, guys, that's a pretty profound statement. When you set your expectations too high and miss, you still come out with something wonderful. Mm-hmm. But when you set them low because of a lack of belief in yourself or the team or whatever the reason is, even if you make those expectations, you're going to be disappointed.
You know, you mentioned something there that brings up a story. Over the last few years, because of Catalyst, I met an interesting actor by the name of Sly Stallone. I don't know if anybody else has heard of him or not. And in listening to him chat one day on a call, he was talking about his first movie, Rocky, and what he had to go through just to get that movie released. And most people know that he wrote that movie. And had he set his expectations low, he'd have never have had the success. And it got to a point, guys, where he was out of desperation because he needed to raise $2,000 for the production company to start showing that he really was putting skin in the game. He had to sell his dog. And his dog was his best friend. He'd already lost his wife, and all he had left was his dog. And it was so interesting because he said once I was able to get the contract, once I went out there and they finally bought my screenplay, and once they told me, you know, we're going to pay you just a little bit up front and the rest of it you're going to have to do by acting in the movie and by taking some of the risk, he went out to buy his dog back. And he found his dog, but the guy that he sold his dog to wanted $5,000. And he said, I didn't have $5,000. He goes, so I looked at the guy and he said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I don't have $5,000 today, but if you'll act in the movie with me, I'll pay you your $5,000. And the guy that paid for his dog, gave him the money to get the movie started, ended up in his movie. He got his dog back, and we all know the rest of the story. He has gone on to create some great movies. But he said, had I set my expectations low, had I accepted what everybody else said, you're ugly, you can't talk, you got a weird accent, he goes, I never, ever would have gotten it off the ground. And
was that his break into the movies, really, is the Rocky series? Is that how Sly got into the movies? I did not know that.
Yeah.
And how many other? Five or six?
Oh, my gosh, there's so many now, and they've all done great.
Oh, my goodness. What
a
story.
You know, guys, you bring up an interesting point there, because another person who was told time and time again that they couldn't act and that they were never going to be successful in Hollywood and on, just, you know, slam after slam after slam, is a lady who, when I mention her name, you guys are going to be like, oh, you really? Because this is a woman who has been in multiple movies and been opposite of Lifetime Award Achievement winner Michael Douglas, and just amazing things that she's done, and that's Sharon Stone.
Oh, yeah.
But it's amazing how tenacity wins out over talent all the time.
It's almost a persistence beats resistance statement, isn't it?
Exactly.
Almost identical, isn't it?
Exactly. You know, we were talking earlier about John Maxwell and his mom passing and everything. And one of his recent books, let me look at my bookshelf here if I can find it. There it is right there. Talent is never enough.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, if you haven't read this book, I strongly recommend that you get it. It's a book that will open your eyes, and it will change the way you think about talent, because I know for a fact that there is nothing more common than unrewarded talent, because talent by itself does not manifest itself into anything. It takes a coach, a mentor, and tenacity to manifest talent into something amazing. I got to find the statement that talks about that. It's a powerful thing. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, buddy.
One of the biggest things that I've seen over the past 13 years of being involved in this industry is people come into this industry from all walks of life with different levels of expectations, and the more talented and gifted some of them are, the more they have to get out of their own way in order to achieve success. I'm a walking, talking, living, breathing testament to that fact myself. Because if you have the ability, you expect people to naturally want to just jump on board. And you know, it's like, well, of course I'm going to do this. Why wouldn't everybody want to do this? Matthew, how long have you been doing this now?
Oh, 16 years now, I believe. I was 19 years old, or actually 18 years old, when I saw Primerica Financial Services the first time. And then the next room I was in was Equinox and the Water Filters at 20 years old.
Okay, the reason I'm asking you that question, Troy, I'll come back to it in a second. Troy, how long have you been doing this now?
As a distributor, 27 years.
27 years. And myself, I'm the baby in the crowd, you know, even though I'm probably the oldest in the crowd, you know, with only 13 years in the industry. It amazes me how many people within our organizations and within the industry think that every we talk to says, oh, yeah, I'd love to join your team. How many times do you guys hear the word no on a daily basis?
Oh, gosh, man, I couldn't count how many times I hear the word no.
I agree.
Matt, how about you?
A lot of times you hear the word no, but a lot of times it means not yet.
Okay. The reason I'm bringing this up, folks, is because Watson, the founder of IBM, said it best when he said successful people double their rate of failure. It doesn't have anything to do with talent. It has to do with tenacity over talent, persistence over resistance, and understanding that no doesn't always mean no. It may mean this is not the right time, I don't have money right now, you know, talk to me in a couple of months. It can mean so many different things that it's not even funny. And don't think for one second that any member of your upline is successful simply because of who they are, and people are just dying to join their team. They're just sitting on the edge of their seat waiting for us to call them so we can ask them, hey, would you like to become a part of my team? You know, oh, God, I'm so glad you called. I've been waiting my whole life for this call.
You know, Jimmy, you hit something there, and I want to share a story sideways. And I know we only have about 50 minutes or 50 seconds left, but when Steven Spielberg got his start in Hollywood, he went to the studio and they weren't hiring, and he sat out in the parking lot and he started watching executives and movie guys go through, and very quickly he realized if he put a briefcase in one hand and a brown paper bag in the other, that the security guard didn't check any of the IDs. And he went through the gate after about a week. He found an empty trailer in the back, and he launched his movie production company without anybody knowing. And by the time they realized what he'd done, his success had already preceded him, and people were talking about it. And I mean, the rest is history. You can never let your lack of talent or the situations keep you from making it to the top.
Activity is the silver bullet. That's the bottom line.
That's it in a nutshell. So, folks, end of the hour, but y'all have a fantastic day. Meet us back here in the morning for Radio for Your Mind.
God bless
you guys. Thank you.